Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Mina, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Follis Group conference call and webcast to present and discuss the first half 2023 financial results. We have with us today Mr. Vasilis Vourlis, Chairman, Mr. George Alevizos, CFO, and Mrs. Elena Papa, Investor Relations and Corporate Affairs Director. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Vourlis. You may now proceed.
Good evening. Thank you for attending our 2023 half-year results conference call. After the long and difficult period of the Greek financial crisis and the COVID years, there are clear signs that the Greek home furnishings market, and in general, the consumer market, is making a strong comeback. Driven by years of substandard consumer trends and by a strong Greek GDP, consumers are now spending at higher rates. Additionally, our company's transformation plan, our investments for both brick-and-mortar and online sales, have laid the basis for the commencement of the much-awaited operating leverage as the market numbers improve. These operational efficiencies, combined with the favorable macroeconomic and market prospects, position us for strong profitability and substantial value creation for our shareholders. Also, the impending IPO of our real estate investment company subsidiary, Trade Estates, is set to unlock significant value to our shareholders. At this point, I pass the floor to Elena Papa, our new IR and Corporate Affairs Director, for more details. Elena?
Thank you very much, Mr. Vourlis. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss Follis Group's first half of 2023 financial results. We are pleased to present a summary of our performance and key highlights, and in the end, we will be happy to answer any questions you might have. Our first half 2023 results reflect the strength of our business model and our strategic initiatives. During this period, we achieved a remarkable 16% increase in revenue, reaching 246.7 million euros, a testament of our commitment to quality and exceptional customer service, and the result of initiatives and investments undertaken by the management with the aim to support our concepts and position the group for further future growth. The initiation of operating leverage within our organization is very supportive to our financial performance during the first half of 2023. This resulted in operating EBITDA and EBIT growth of 76% and 39% respectively. This operational efficiency, combined with favorable economic prospects, will drive our future growth. Creating sustainable cash flows and returning value to our shareholders is a priority for the management. This year, we announced the dividend for fiscal year of 2022 of 0.11 per share, amounting to 6 million euros, which represents a dividend payout ratio of 30%. In addition, we are very pleased with the positive cash flow generation from our retail operation. The net debt of the group's retail activities during the first half of 2023 reduced by 13.2 million euros compared to the first half of 2022, reaching 110.3 million euros in the first half of 2023 from 123.5 million euros in the first half of 2022. In terms of segment performance, starting with the retail home furnishings activity, IKEA, that represents 66% of the group's revenue, reaffirms its leading position. During the first half of 2023, IKEA presented a significant increase of 24.4% in revenue, reaching 163.8 million euros. These results were driven by both volume and value growth, supported by market trends and supply chain improvements. Greece, representing 58% of retail home furnishings revenues, posted a remarkable 22.6% increase, while our international markets also demonstrated strong growth with a 27% year-on-year increase. The remodeling of our IKEA store network continues to succeed. Additionally, we have three new IKEA stores in Greece under construction or design, set to begin operations within the next 1 to 3 years. Profitability in the retail home furnishing segment has significantly improved. The gross profit margin increased at 45.9% in the first half of 2023 versus 44.3% in the first half of last year, reflecting the effectiveness of our supply chain and operational efficiencies. Retail home furnishings operational EBITDA in half one of 23 increased by a remarkable 114%, reaching 15.4 million euros compared to 7.2 million euros in the first half of 22. The operating EBITDA margin rose to 9.4% in the first half of 23 from 5.5% in the respective previous year period, showcasing our commitment to optimizing our operations. Retail home furnishings EBIT in half one of 23 increased by 49% at 12.8 million euros from 8.6 million euros in the first half of 22, with the EBIT margin reaching 7.8% in the first half of 23 from 6.7% in half one of 22. These results not only underscore the strong presence of the IKEA brand, but also reflect the dedication and hard work of our teams. In our retail sporting goods segment, Intersport, we maintained steady revenue growth, reaching 82.8 million euros. Excluding revenue from the disposed The Athlete's Foot and Intersport Turkey, retail sporting goods revenue saw a significant increase of 13% during the first half of 23 compared to the same period of last year, largely driven by Greece, Bulgaria and Cyprus, while the Romanian market presented a stable performance versus last year. Initiatives and investments we have undertaken, like the renovation of our store network towards a more modernized and digitalized concept, the upgrade of our logistics capacity that supports Intersport's e-commerce and omnichannel approach, are starting to pay off and have a positive impact. Moreover, our strong partnerships with leading companies in the sports industry like Nike and Adidas significantly strengthen our product portfolio. On the profitability front, irregular weather conditions led to higher promotional initiatives, and therefore the gross profit margin during the first half of 2023 was weaker than last year's gross profit margin, standing at 45% from 47.7%. Nevertheless, we managed to deal effectively with this challenge as we focused on creating operating efficiencies, and therefore we succeeded in maintaining profitability stable versus last year's first half at an operating EBITDA level of 3.8 million euros. Moving into our retail health and wellness segment, our venture into the health and wellness sector through Holland & Barrett represents a significant step forward. While still in its early stages, we are very happy with the convertibility rates within our stores and the loyalty of our customers. By now, we have set up the e-commerce operation in order to support Holland & Barrett's omnichannel presence, and we are also moving forward with launching an exciting marketing campaign, which will be a catalyst for creating further brand awareness, increasing traffic, and driving the message of healthier living. We are confident about the growing prospects of the health and wellness sector, and therefore we are strategically positioning to benefit from this evolution. Therefore, our plan to open 100 physical stores in Greece, Romania and Bulgaria in the next 5 years stays intact. As we look ahead, Furlis Group is positioning for even greater success, always ready to exploit opportunities for growth and expansion. Our strategic initiatives have strengthened our position in the market and provide us with a strong foundation for our future endeavors. We are confident that our commitment to quality, innovation, and exceptional customer service will continue to drive sustainable growth and value creation. At this point, we are at your disposal for any questions you may have.
The first question is from the line of Draziotis Stamatis with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone. Just a couple of questions from my side, please. Firstly, I'm intrigued to get some more granularity on what drove the top line performance in Q2 and H1, I guess, in general. I mean, was it you said that it was both pricing and volume. I'm just wondering, was it more products, higher footfall, more frequent visits, higher basket size? Do you think you took share due to consumers trading down? So we'd love to hear your thoughts on that, please. And secondly, on the you also mentioned the operating leverage, which was quite significant in the first half. I'm just wondering, about the extent of operating leverage. Effectively, have the expenses in your business have they settled? So, which means that operating leverage will be quite significant as well in the second half. Obviously, depending on the extent of top line increase. That's pretty much it from me. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question. Yes, the increase we experienced during the first half was for IKEA was a volume increase, including of course a part of it a price increase, but the most important part was a volume increase, and there are a number of explanations for that. First of all, the market is now increasing again. We have mentioned many times that since 2010 and the beginning of the Greek financial crisis, the home furnishings market tumbled by about 70%. This market now is coming back. It's coming back because of the GDP growth, because of the increase in the residential market, and because of the increase in the tourist industry also. So IKEA went through a difficult period regarding supply chain during the COVID years. This year, there are no such issues, and we are confident that we're gaining market share in this increasing market. So this is the first part of your question regarding the, and we are confident that we will keep on gaining market share as the market increases. Regarding the second part of your question, as you know, the retail industry has two main OPEX categories. Occupancy cost and personnel cost. Both of these OPEX categories are not easy to decrease as demand decreases or as sales decreases. There are limited moves one can make. So when the opposite is in effect, that means when the market increases and it increases quite rapidly, the OPEX categories definitely do not increase with the same pace. And this is what creates the strong operating leverage that exists in the group. As you know, the IKEA stores are there. They have been there for a long time. And not only the expenses are not increasing, but with the downsizing of the big IKEA stores that basically is taking effect all over the world to face the new realities, expenses are even lower. So the operating leverage effect becomes stronger. I hope this covered your question.
I think it does. So the takeaway effectively is that there ought to be a good degree of operating leverage as well in the second in the second half.
We believe so. Yes, we believe so. As long as the market keeps growing at the same level, yes.
Sure. Okay, makes sense. Thank you so much.
Keep in mind that the stronger the increase in sales, the higher the multiplier of the operating leverage.
That's great. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, many thanks for your time and the presentation. Can you elaborate a bit more on the revenue momentum for the second half? We've seen some strong growth for IKEA, but for the retail sports business, it's a bit more complicated with the inorganic, the disposal of Turkey and etc. Could you elaborate a bit more on top line expectations? That would be helpful, I think. Thank you.
Right. Our main assumption that for the second half is that the sales increase will be at a lower rate compared to first half. We believe that, you know, the comparable effect versus last year is not going to be as strong as it was during the first half. Since the comparability with the post-COVID year is in a way slowing down. So this is the main assumption that we have for second half, that the increase rate will be a bit lower than the first half.
Thank you.
Does this? Yeah. I suggest we take one of the written questions.
Yes, there is the first question. Are you planning to open small IKEA shops in every major Greek city, just like Intersport?
The answer is no. We do not intend to open any small stores in any other cities in the foreseeable future. We now focus on the full-size stores that we are building in Patras, in Crete, and in South Athens. And all these will be ready for operations in 24, 25, and 27. These are the stores that bring strong profitability, the full-size store. And when we say full-size store, in IKEA nowadays, we mean stores starting from 6,000-7,000 square meters and above that basically provide and offer what every other IKEA store has to offer. A restaurant, a full showroom, a full delivery area, a full pickup area, etc., etc. So, no. There's no intention of opening small IKEA stores in every Greek city. And let's take another question from John Kalogeropoulos. Do you still stick with your guidance for financial year 25, consolidated sales of 750, EBIT margin 8 to 10? This projection, we definitely stand by our target to reach 750 million sales and EBIT of 8 to 10% margin. And this is where we focus all our attention. However, the projection in the Vision 2025 was made right before COVID. And because of the slowdown of COVID, we have moved the target from 2025 to 2026, but we definitely stick to our target of 8 to 10% EBIT margin. For us, this is vital for the profitability of our future.
Shall I move on to the third question from Ioannis Siatras that has three axes. The first one is three parts. Please explain to us how did the EBITDA of 27 million euros ended to 1.75 million of net profit? This is the reported EBITDA, the 27.
Yeah.
We will go through question by question.
Yes, yes.
Okay, this is the analysis of our P&L. This is the reported EBITDA of including IFRS 16 impact, which means that it does not have any impact of the rents. So we have to deduct, of course, the portion, if we will split the IFRS 16 impact, the portion that it is dedicated to interest and depreciation. And of course, we have to deduct our OPEX, which is actually 102 million versus 94 million same period last year, with a much larger network, an increase that represents the operating volume that Mr. Fourlis mentioned. Now, apart from that, of course, we should not underestimate the fact that we have higher interest expenses, financial expenses. We will explain later on about that because there is a specific question about that. We are living in a period where inflationary trends draw interest rates higher. And of course, it includes the full consolidation of the financial expenses of the higher debt level of the real estate activity. So the question is the analysis of our P&L, I believe. And also, it includes the minority, small minority interest through the real estate vehicle. However, we have to mention that comparing with last year, the real estate vehicle had revaluations of 5 million, and this year, same period, we have 1.3. So there is a gap of 3.7 million versus prior year in order to have a like-for-like comparison.
And the second part of this question is the following. The amount of depreciation and interest expenses were known at the day of the General Assembly, 16th of June of 23, and it was known that it will influence the net profitability. Why did the management did not mention anything to the shareholders? So may I repeat?
Yes, they were not, but the topic of the General Assembly was not the first half results. So I don't understand the question. Why should the General Assembly should have dealt with interest expense and depreciation? In any case, I wanted to say that we have to keep in mind that the first half traditionally in our group, because of sales and because of low discounting sales and of the first half, and also because of low volumes, traditionally is a low profitability half. Most of our profitability comes from the second half. And also more particular, the question should be, how does the EBIT of 10.9 million comes down to almost 2 million PBT? And of course, the answer to that is the interest expense. The EBITDA that was mentioned, the 27 million, is the EBITDA that does not include occupancy expense. This is the new way of accounting according to IFRS 16.
Okay. And the third part of this question, how will interest and depreciation expenses evolve during the whole year, assuming that the interest rates will not change a lot?
The assumption is that they will be close to double. I don't see...
Mr. Fourlis, first of all, we have to split between the retail activity and the real estate activity. The retail activity reduced the total debt by approximately 13 million versus same period prior year. On the contrary, the real estate activity increased by 19 million exactly based on our strategy because we invested. Now, Regarding the interest expense, in the second quarter, it will be slightly lower regarding the retail activity for different reasons. First of all, we managed to reduce further our margin with the banks. Second, it is because we reduce also the absolute amount of our debt. In the real estate activity, again, we have hedged the majority of the debt and the net debt drawn up to now with the real estate activity. So, and it was in place from the 1st of April, which means that it was 3 months during the first half that it was not hedged. So in the second semester, we will have lower cost of debt. And as an absolute figure, it will be more or less, as Mr. Foulis mentioned, the same like the first half.
I would like to say that we understand that presenting consolidated statements with retail group and a real estate group complicates the way the accounts are presented. So after the IPO of our real estate business in October, at the end of the year, we plan to present pro forma accounts showing separately and in detail the results for the real estate business and also for the retail business. When we do that for the first time at the end of the year, you will be able to see clearly the structure of the retail business and of the real estate business. And I think this is going to help the understanding of the dynamics of the improving dynamics of the retail business.
And this answers the next questions, which I haven't still read, by Luca Orsini. You are spinning off the real estate. It would be useful to have pro forma accounts of the business truly separated. So we have answered to that.
Yes, we will have pro forma accounts. And by the end of the year, again, as you know, the IPO will have taken place, and we will present in clear pro forma accounts for as long as we consolidate the real estate business. We will present in clear pro forma accounts.
Okay. Another one from Luca. What kind of dividend yield you envisage on the real estate part in 2024, and what growth of dividend you plan for the future?
Right. For the real estate business, I prefer not to make any projections for 2024, since we are under the IPO process. We will publish the IPO booklet very soon, and all the information that we can disclose will be in the IPO booklet. What I can tell you is that we are moving forward with our investment plan for the real estate business. And recently, a project that we have been working on has seen the lights of publicity, which is the possible acquisition of Smart Retail Park, which is the largest retail park in Greece. Indeed, we are in exclusive negotiations with the seller, which is REDS, a company listed in the Athens Stock Exchange. And we will know soon whether there will be a final agreement or not. Of course, if the acquisition goes ahead, there are going to be pro forma statements issued prior to the IPO showing the effect of this acquisition on the accounts of Trade Estates RIC.
Okay, let's move on with the next one from Xenon Investments, Bernd. I cannot pronounce the surname. Good operating figures, congratulations. One area of concern, however, is cash flow. Is the negative free cash flow only coming from the real estate sector? If so, how high was the free cash flow on the retail business in half one of 23? And what free cash flow margin do you expect going forward in the new full lease without real estate? And the last question, why is Mr. Vallachis not participating today?
Right. I will start with the last question. Mr. Vallachis is on an airplane right now, coming back from Barcelona, where he has been attending the Intersport International conference that takes place annually, and it coincided with our conference call. That's the reason that he's not attending. So, George, please, for the free cash flow.
Regarding the free cash flow, yes, you're right. The first half has a negative free cash flow for two reasons. A small portion, approximately 30%, is attributed to the real estate company because there are some VAT receivables over there due to construction in our important project in Patras. But the remaining is attributed to the retail activity, basically because of seasonality. In the first half, we have a completely different and adverse seasonality effect for our free cash flow, less in IKEA, but more in Intersport. That will change during the second half of the year.
Perfect. And the next one from Luca Orsini again. You get help from IKEA in difficult times and you give it back in better times. How do we stand in this cycle? Shall we expect a stable gross margin?
Yes. Thank you for that, Luca. It's we are looking forward to a very good period during the next 3 years regarding our supply chain and our purchasing capabilities, both in terms of volume, but also in terms of competitive pricing. So we have a plan during the next 2-3 years to provide more competitive prices to the Greek consumer, and we believe this will have a positive effect on our sales without sacrificing any of our gross margin. I am sure you can understand what I'm saying.
The next one comes from Stelios Morfidis from Protothema. At what stage are the negotiations for the acquisition of Smart Park, and what do you intend to do with the land opposite Smart Park?
As I mentioned before, we are in exclusive negotiations with the seller at an advanced stage, and we believe these negotiations will come to an end soon, hopefully with a positive end for the acquisition. Regarding the land opposite, we are now waiting to see how the negotiations go, and we will decide afterwards what to do with the land that we have purchased.
The next one comes from Mr. Soublis. Is there a possibility for a partial carve out to the existing shareholders for Trade Estates?
As we all know, partial carve outs is something that happens when a subsidiary is listed. Right now, we don't have any such plans. However, next year is another year, and we will see what the General Assembly might decide.
Priority today remains the imminent IPO, which is an important thing, important strategic action for Lis Group, but it's important also for the Greek market, specifically for this asset class. We are offering a very attractive product, and it is important to be successful in this specific action.
We don't have any more written, but we do have a question on the audio from Alpar Kamzer.
Thank you. The next question is from Albar Gamze with Impera Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Actually, my question has been answered because I was just going to ask you about the IKEA gross margin. During the COVID time, IKEA was protecting its franchisees and had been good with the product pricing. So I was just going to say whether this was going to continue, but I think that question has been answered in terms of gross margins. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we also have another written one. Will there be another investor except from Ms. Manifava? Will there be another investor except from Otto Elas through private placement at Trade Estates before the IPO?
There are certain discussions right now with possible other investors, but there is nothing definite that we can disclose.
And a follow-up from Zenon Investments. On net debt, can we expect further deleveraging in the retail business segment? If yes, to what extent?
You can definitely expect further deleveraging in the retail, both from the free cash flow that the retail business will be producing, but also possibly from the sale of part of Trade Estates. So yes, there will be deleveraging.
We don't have any more written questions. I don't know about the audio.
There are no further audio questions at this time.
Okay then. Thank you very much for your participation.
Yes, thank you very much. If there are no other questions, thank you very much.